You already know, and a very happy hump day to you. Wednesday, December 13th. I know all of Jason Ross's Christmas shopping is done, but it's yours. Give the gift of the lowdown.
Yeah.
It's Jason Ross. It's free for everybody.
Drink it in, man.
Drink it in. Welcome in. And thank you so much for being with us. That was Chris Verlott, producer extraordinaire. That was Jason Ross, the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. I'm Damian Barling. Again, we thank you so much for being with us. If you want to jump in and be a part of the conversation, we're guest-free today. And I'm going to tell you this, as Jason and I, we were actually planning for the next few days, which is very unusual for the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
We were laying out a strategy for the next couple of days with a big weekend ahead in the NFL, and we're loaded with guests both on Thursday and Friday. Now, Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider, will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. So if you want to jump in at any point, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, really good hours to do it. You know the numbers, 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Got the text line up here and rolling at 44-1140 if you want to get in on the conversation. We're going to touch on a lot of NBA here during the 12 o'clock hour. Also, Roger Goodell is out as the NFL commissioner.
What? Wait, what?
In 7 years.
Oh.
In 7 years, he's out as the NFL commissioner. For some reason, they felt the need to announce that today. Which I find funny because there's meetings happening today. And there's a particularly cranky owner who's a little pissed off that he didn't get his way. And he's not going to table his argument that Roger Goodell's contract extension should not be done, despite the fact, by all outward appearances, it already is.
Well, didn't he get his way? He just has to wait 7 years to get his
way. Yeah, and seven ways. If Jerry, if you're still around,
around
buddy,
the corner.
Dude, if Jerry's, I don't think Jerry Jones is ever going to.
No.
He will live forever.
Yeah.
And just to annoy people, he will be around forever. We will get to all of that. Just things to touch on here this hour. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, Jay Ross and I will take a look at the American Football Conference. One small thought on every single team in the AFC. Aaron Rodgers is back officially. He will play on Sunday. All things that we will get into. Also, NCAA is coming to town. Kansas and Stanford, Sac State.
Portland.
I thought you were going to say Stingers Up.
Sorry. Oh, Stingers Up?
Yeah, Portland. Not the Trailblazers, but the school.
No.
We got tickets for that. We will give those to you. Let's see. We did 1 o'clock yesterday. We will do this in the 2 o'clock hour. Stick around. 2 o'clock hour, we will get these NCAA, this four-pack of NCAA tickets to you. You can download the KHTK app. Never miss. If you're out on your lunch break, you're going back to work. I know you're kind of sweating right now. You're panicking a little bit because you're worried about missing maybe the 1 o'clock hour or the 2 o'clock hour. You don't have to miss any part of the show. Download the KHTK app on your smartphone, iPhone, Samsung, whatever it is, and you can listen to your favorite show, The Lowdown, live. You can also listen to it on demand at your own convenience. I do want to mention, Jay Ross, we, I think more than any other show on this station, Maybe only Rome is a possible exception. A lot of people listen to us on the app and listen to us online because a lot of people are at work. That puts them at a severe disadvantage to win tickets when we give them away. So I think we'll give these tickets away today as we normally do, and then Thursday and Friday we'll figure out a way to give away tickets for. Obviously, everybody can be a part of it, but we're going to try to figure out a way to give tickets away for app users.
Okay.
Because there's, I think there's like a 47-minute delay or something. And I'm only slightly being sarcastic. Yeah. It feels like there's a really long delay between regular feed and app feed. So we want to make sure, because we're very appreciative of everybody who listens. So we'll make sure people who are listening on the app get a chance to win these tickets to college basketball on December 21st at the Golden One Center. Kings win.
Yes, they did.
99-92. They beat the Phoenix Suns in what felt like, Jason, one of the better defensive outings for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, especially in the fourth quarter. We've been talking about the Kings, Damian being guilty of quarters in the teens. Well, they held Phoenix to an 18-point fourth quarter, and I think the Suns finished in the last 7 minutes 2 of 17. Missed 13 in a row at 1 point. Kings went on that run.
Is that bad?
That's bad for them. Good for the Kings.
There you go.
And, I didn't think – the good thing about last night to me is, I didn't think the Kings were extremely sharp. I thought there were some areas where they could have certainly been better. What they did do well is they took care of the basketball. That's something that they've been awful at lately. So they took care of the basketball, didn't shoot amazingly well, but beat a team that's similar to them that didn't have a good player in Devin Booker. I would have thought of it as a bad loss instead. It's just a nice win, and they did some good things, and a lot of it was two key veterans helping them get a victory.
Zach Randolph in the clutch, man. Let's get to Zebo here in a second. You mentioned a couple of veterans. Obviously, the other one was George Hill. I want to mention this, too, because we get so enamored with the box score, and I know that there is no way that Garrett Temple is waking up happy with the fact that he was 0 for 5 again, and he is struggling. His shot is struggling bad. Mm-hmm. But Garrett was really, really good defensively, particularly there in the late part of the third quarter, early part of the fourth quarter. And that really set the stage for Zach Randolph to do what he did there in the fourth quarter. I think he was 3 of 10.
Yeah, going into the fourth.
And then hit his last four, mm-hmm. including that and one that put things away there late in the game.
Yeah, 4 for 4, 11 in the fourth on a game where he has been great and he wasn't yesterday. But by the end, mm-hmm. closing time, crunch time, winning time, he was there for them.
That performance last night. And like I'm not trying to be I don't want this to come across the wrong way, so forgive me. That performance last night doesn't beat a lot of teams.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think that's fair to say.
Because you just look across the board and it's like, well, it's kind of more of the same from the Kings. But what really stood out from them for me was their effort defensively, and I'm sure it helps that Minnesota's Phoenix isn't very good.
Yeah, and their best scorer was out.
Right, their best player is gone. So perhaps it can give them a boost mm-hmm. defensively moving forward. I mentioned Minnesota because that's who they have tomorrow night
road. I think again, another road trip, four of them. I think Dave Yeager used that exact phrasing in the postgame. He said, I don't know that we played that well, but we played hard. And I think they did. I think there was a lot of intensity, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. But shots weren't falling. Like, if shots were falling all night, I think it would have been a nice, easy night. It wasn't. They were kind of just hanging in there. And then they really did finish strong, and that's when the defense kicked in and made it tough for Phoenix, and they got the rebounds that they needed. And just a nice win. I mean, kind of a necessary win to me because I think this road trip coming up is pretty challenging.
Have we gotten to the point yet in this season? It feels like there's not another game at the Golden 1 Center for like a month. And I know it's not a month, but yeah. I was kind of looking, when's the next game we're going to go to? And I'm looking, there's nothing next week. Okay. Not going to the Golden 1 Center for a while here. I'm not going to get to see the Sacramento Kings up close and personal here for a few more weeks. Not until we get right around Christmas, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think there's a game.
The 23rd against the Spurs.
I was going to say 2 days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then there's a back-to-back with the Clippers and the Cavs at the Golden 1 Center. Is that right? Or is it in L.A.?
The Clippers are L.A. Then the Cavs are here 2 days after Christmas. Of course, they'll play the Warriors on Christmas Day.
The Cavs?
Yes.
Kings didn't get the Warriors game on Christmas?
No, unless it's the first part of a doubleheader that I'm not aware of.
First part of a Warriors doubleheader. Yeah. They got to play the Kings first.
Yes.
Doesn't happen off. Let's play two, folks. It's Christmas Day. It's Christmas Day. Let's play two. Is it too early or is this too hot of a take to say that Frank Mason is the Kings' best rookie? Frank Mason Jr. III, I think we established is his name at some point last week when we were filling in the morning.
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay. I feel like we're supposed to say it's De'Aaron and the ceiling is so high and the future is so bright. I got to wear shades and it's the greatest thing in the world. And
so the ceiling is the roof?
The ceiling is the roof, Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you. The philosopher there that is Chris Verlade, a.k.a. Michael Jordan. The ceiling is the roof. But
Frank Mason's better today.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Okay. I think that's very fair. And, yeah.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with that.
Okay. And is it fair to say that I'm clumping them together. I'm kind of cheating here, so forgive me. The second best young player on the Sacramento Kings is Buddy Hield.
No, that's fine. His best young. It could be him, but going rookie.
Best rookie, yeah. De'Aaron Fox. I'm sorry. Best rookie, Frank Mason Jr. III. And best young player, Buddy Hield.
Yeah, and I think that another one that's close might be Bogey, and I think what's interesting is they've all played a little bit more basketball.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, right? Oh, I mean,
that's exactly where I was going.
And then
you would think we talked about this before or something. It's amazing.
And if we stretch it to a third-year guy, it's Willie, right? Because Willie has played a little bit more college and a little bit more NBA. It's just those are the kind of things you can see where maybe it can go, but it doesn't mean that guarantees the path of De'Aaron Fox or Malachi or Justin Jackson or Scal. But more basketball, more time, it's going
to
help.
When we're ranking Sacramento Kings, I feel like there's a drop-off to Willie. feel like Willie's been really inconsistent. I think when Willie's been good, he has been really, really good. But when he's bad, it's like head scratching.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening? Now it appears he's been playing with some sort of issue,
mm-hmm.
right? He's had a back problem. He, you know, missed a couple of games. He played last night. Actually, he played damn near 30 minutes last night coming off the bench, which is unusual.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench for Willie, unusual. Playing 30 minutes, unusual for anybody on the Sacramento Kings.
But he's been more consistent off the bench lately. I think he's done better lately.
Coming off the bench, you think he has?
Yeah.
Okay. The point that I was making is when you – Frank Mason having played, you know, the amount of years that he did in college. Same with Buddy Hield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, in his second year as an NBA player, I'm not trying to make a one-and-done point. I don't even know what point I'm trying to make. I'm just as a viewer, I'm making an observation and presenting it to you. That's it.
And I think it's accurate. I think it's more than fair. I feel like there has to be something about, like, Bogdanovich is by definition an NBA rookie. He just looks comfortable. Frank Mason looks comfortable. Buddy Hield looks comfortable. I mean, I don't know that De'Aaron looks uncomfortable, but there's moments where he can't get to the spots that he wants to. He can't use that athletic ability. He still has things to improve on, which I think he will. His jump shot, Scal, moments where he disappeared. I just think there's areas that all of those young guys, and even the guys that we're saying are farther along, they all need to work on.
Scal is, you know, it's hard now because I feel like we have to put guys like Scal and Justin Jackson, who didn't see the light of day yesterday, in different categories now because they're the ones getting brought up and down between Reno. I don't know that Scal has gotten a DNP, right? Like, I know he's had questionable minutes in terms of it was confusing for fans. I feel like he's had a DNP. Maybe not. I know there was one game where they were blown out, and I don't think he played till the last.
Came in very late.
Yeah, where it was kind of like, well, what'd you put him in for? Because it seemed like you were making a point by not playing him. That was the beginning of, hey, what's going on with Scal? Because he was just starting a couple of days ago. But De'Aaron Fox, he's not going to Reno.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Like he's not going to Reno.
Yeah,
so
why?
De'Aaron Fox, I think, is in a different category where he's just going to have to learn how to be an NBA player.
Yeah.
I just thought it was an interesting in right. You mentioned Bogdan in the same conversation. While he didn't play in college, he certainly has experience overseas as a professional basketball player.
And what's funny, I guess, even if we just take last night's game, for example, between De'Aaron and Frank Mason, I actually thought De'Aaron did okay. But look at the stat line.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I don't think he hurt the team. I thought he did some positive things.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, 7 points, 2 boards, no assists. Didn't turn the ball over. Fine. I mean, nothing that I go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But I went, hey, he played okay.
And I'm not
but Frank Mason sticks out more.
Yeah, right. And I'm not knocking De'Aaron Fox in my observation. I'm trying to praise Frank Mason Jr. III.
Yeah.
I think what he's doing since regularly getting his minutes has been extremely impressive. And I know Kings fans really like De'Aaron Fox. I think Kings fans really like a number of players on this team. But we've kind of talked, like, who can be the guy, who can be the Bobby Jackson,
mm-hmm.
the Isaiah Thomas? I think it's Frank Mason. Like, I think he's, because people, you know, it felt like a year and a half, or a year while we were doing this show, however long it was. Maybe it was only a few months. I don't know. We're having so much fun, I lose track of time. The constant criticism from Kings fans was, and there was no effort last night. They weren't playing hard. Now, we heard that in the Atlanta game, and we've heard that in a number of games. We even heard Garrett Temple talk about their effort in that Atlanta game where they lost by 1,000. But you don't ever see that from Frank Mason. You don't ever watch him and think, man, he's mailing it in.
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing very hard. Or he's standing around. Or he's throwing his hands up being demonstrative. You never see that with him. And I think that's what Kings fans, the Kings community, the Sacramento community loves about specific players. It's what they loved about Bobby. It's what they loved about Isaiah. And I think that's what they love about Frank Mason. And he's producing, and that helps too.
Yeah, always have. They've always fallen in love with that type of player that has been kind of maybe the perceived underdog, the workhorse, and then comes in there and just produces, and that's what he's been able to do. And what's interesting, one of the moments last night that I think De'Aaron Fox played the entire first quarter, Frank Mason played the entire second quarter. They were starting to do that in the third quarter, took Fox out a little bit earlier, And then when it was a decision time to maybe bring Fox back in, he brought George Hill back in. And I think because George Hill played so well, that was the time to bring the veteran back in. And it was nice to see that version of George Hill. And that's what I was saying on our postgame last night, Damian, that I wondered, like, we've seen Zebo find a groove. He has definitely been the Kings' best player here for 2-3 weeks. George Hill has not been. I mean, last night was his statistically his second-best game as a King, but it felt like one of his best. What would this team look like if Zebo and George Hill played like that every night? And then all of a sudden, does it matter as much what you get from Fox and Mason and all these young? You want it. You need those points. But now there's less pressure. Yeah, and I think if Hill can play like this with Zach on a regular basis, Garrett doing what he does defensively, Costa doing what he does rebounding, I mean, all the veterans doing what they do, but these two scoring, then Willie can get his 4 or 5 dunks off the bench and get you 15 and 6, and Buddy hits 4 threes, and Bogdan hits a couple threes. I think that would be the best version of this team.
Text line, 44-11-40. Jason, this is what is wrong with Sacramento media. Why are you guys saying that De'Aaron Fox isn't our best rookie? He's the youngest. Everyone knows that he has the highest ceiling of all Kings rookies. My man, or my girl, you're not listening close enough. I think we just said that. But right now, today, my opinion, De'Aaron Fox isn't the Kings' best rookie. Frank Mason Jr. III is. And that's not a problem. Like, that's not a bad thing. That doesn't mean De'Aaron Fox sucks.
Not at all.
It means Frank Mason is playing really, really well.
Yep.
And no one's talking about ceiling. Ceiling is the roof. No one's talking about sky's the limit. Yeah. None of that. We're talking about right now, almost 30 games into the season.
Yeah.
Frank Mason's the best rookie for the Sacramento Kings, in my opinion.
Yeah. Other teams, Kyle Kuzma's better than Lonzo Ball right now. Lonzo Ball may be a 10-time All-Star. He may not. He may be out of the league in 5 years. I don't know. But they drafted Lonzo Ball high because they thought he could be a great player. Kyle Kuzma's been better. That can happen on teams. And what's interesting is I bet – internally, if we're talking about ceiling of rookies, I wouldn't be surprised if they say it's Harry Giles. Like, if we're talking about ceiling, like, sure, best case scenario, it could be Harry Giles. But he also has a major concern about his health and his knees.
But a lot of so much of that is what we think, or right, what the smart basketball people mm-hmm. think. A lot of what people think about De'Aaron Fox is based off what they've seen.
Yeah.
So it's. I think there is a certain level of excitement for the unknown.
Yeah.
And that's what Harry very much is. He is the unknown, and you're thinking, man, if Harry Giles pans out the way a lot of basketball people think, it could turn out to be the single greatest draft pick in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be right there next to Isaiah Thomas. And I'm not talking about Sacramento Kings. I'm talking about drafts,
right,
period. You know, players taken that late who are thought of, you know, Isaiah, I don't know that Isaiah was thought of that high, but he's turned into something really special. Harry Giles is thought of very, very high. I think the question is, as you noted, can he be that guy that people thought he was coming out of high school?
And wouldn't it be nice for the Kings to be on that end of a draft pick where they say, how did this team miss him? How did, you know, the Kings are on, we can give 15, 30, 40 examples of players the Kings missed out on. You know, mm-hmm. Kawhi and Giannis. I mean, too long of a list. Wouldn't it be nice if the Kings were on the right end of that? Like, hey, how did this team not pick him? How did this team? Well, it'd be nice to be on that end one time.
And I was expecting texts like this. We've gotten just a couple of them. How about this one, Jay Ross at 44-11-40? What is the team objective? Rebuild? Half a rebuild? Make the 8 spot? By the way, they're not that far out of the 8 spot.
I know, ironically.
I was told, you know, that's a conversation that I want to have with you, by the way, is I was watching, I watched a lot of basketball last night. Mm-hmm. And there were two really good games on ESPN. Really good young teams, went to overtime. LeBron last night set some career highs. Mm-hmm. He was spectacular. Kings win. I was still left with one prevailing question that I want to pose to you. I'm going to do it this hour. So that's a tease, folks. We're really good at that here on this show. But I knew that I was told all summer that this team is in full rebuild. I'm sorry, but this coaching staff is not in rebuild mode. So that's I feel like with every Kings win, we get a lot of those text messages. We get a number of calls similar to that same mindset as well. What do you want them to do, lose?
Well, or I guess even if we take the win-loss part away from it, how does that look like? What are they talking about? Is it just strictly playing the 10 youngest players the majority of the minutes? I mean, is that what it is? Because I mean, if you look at last night, I mean, Scal's in the starting lineup. I don't think he played a ton, but he did play. You have De'Aaron Fox, still your starting point guard. We just talked about Mason, Buddy, Bogey, Willie. Those guys are getting the most minutes off the bench. I feel like they're trying to do both. Be as competitive as they possibly can. Have veterans teach the young guys on court, off court as well. Yeah, maybe they could play the young guys a little bit more, but I don't know how much more are we looking at here.
Yeah, it's you know, if you believe that story that was on the Ringer yesterday, the confusion about what allegedly Scott Perry told the veterans coming in, it's the dynamic between the two groups is interesting. And the one thing that we know, and I think for the first time that we can say this in I don't know how long, you know, significantly longer than I have, there's no dissension within this team. You hear guys like Zach Randolph and Vince Carter. Every time we have Garrett Temple on, he praises a different young player, whether it's Frank, whether it's Jakar, whether it's someone else. Did he play last night?
No.
Is he here? Is he missing? Did we trade him?
Inactive or not. Like, I'm not sure. Yeah. But that's
okay.
Okay,
I'm going to jot that down because that's another conversation I think that we should be having. The text here. There's a top text. I think this year has made me realize that a lot of Kings fans can be annoying. Mm-hmm. AF. He threw in the AF and he spelled it out in full.
Yeah.
But what do you want? Do you want to compete in where you finish doesn't matter? Do you want to compete and lose? Do you want to compete and win? Like my feeling is this. If you can win however many games, win them.
Yeah.
Because I'm still not sold on, well, we got to get draft picks.
Right.
Because I want to see the draft picks the Kings have now develop. And when I see those draft picks develop, then I'll say, okay, cool. We know this organization knows how to develop players. Bring them on in. Let's go for that one, two, three, whatever. Let's make some moves. Let's make some deals. Until then, right now I look at it the same way we had the discussion about the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns have a treasure trove of draft picks. They have crapped them away for the better part of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see how De'Aaron Fox pans out in 3 years before I get excited about, before you start talking about finishing in draft positions. Like, don't tell me about tanking for more draft positions. I want games like last night.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Play well and win. There's a lot of texts. Kings fans are coming hard here on the text line. Flooding it at 44-1140. Greg, I see you. I promise we're going to get to you next. We'll keep this conversation going. We got some other NBA stuff to talk about. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We are just getting started here on the Lowdown. Man, we need to lighten up the load here on this text line. Do we have unlimited data here on the text line?
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we paid our bill this month.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I think.
It's always sketchy. 44-1140, having a lot of different conversations here surrounding the Kings. We were talking about, is it better to, like, what do you want to see from the Kings? And I said, I want games like last night. I want them to compete, and I want them to win. It's a lot easier to, no matter how you feel about the future, if the Kings, I think what frustrates the draft pick, man, we got to build through the draft. We got to get the kid at Duke. We got to get this guy. We got to get that guy. Is the Kings win one and then lose four.
Right.
And then they win one and then lose three. And it goes on like that. If the Kings reel off four wins in a row, Kings fans aren't mad.
Right.
Even the rebuild, play the young guys, all of that, they're not mad.
Yeah.
I think what frustrates fans is it's win one, lose three, win, two, lose eight. This text here, as I said, I want them to win. Like, it's a lot more fun for us when they win games. When they suck, I don't want to talk about them. Like, we have other things we can devote our show to. Like, I don't want to continuously talk about a 20-some-odd win basketball team. This makes it more enjoyable. Text here, totally agree. I'm good with playing hard and winning. I wrote back, like, man, we're in the minority. And, wrote again, I think we're a little misguided and unrealistic. I really love this team. A lot of text here coming. Again, as all of these conversations, Jason, people are split.
Yeah. Well, and I think where we're getting split on it to me is actually like semantics, the definition of rebuild. Do you feel like the way they're playing every night, who they play, doesn't it fit in your mind? Are they rebuilding? Is this under a rebuild model to you?
What I love, and I'm co-signing a text that we got here a few minutes ago, what I love is late in games. I think last night's another great example. I know Z-Bo was out there because he was, you know, and George Hill was – Frank Mason was out there as well. Mm-hmm. We've tried to say this all year, and I feel like we're just going to have to repeat it day after day after day after day. Doesn't matter who starts. It matters who finishes. And I think that's part of the rebuild. Having running plays for De'Aaron Fox against the Philadelphia 76ers, that's the rebuild right there. Hey, all right.
For the win.
You're the fifth overall pick. Yeah. You're the guy everyone's excited about. Go win us the ball game.
Yeah, I think last night was maybe, you know, Z-Bo got the kind of the dagger basket. But if we look at other late game situations, we talked about it earlier this year. You just mentioned De'Aaron Fox, the basically back-breaking game-winning shot against Philadelphia. The game-winning basket at Oracle came from Bogdan Bogdanovic. Buddy Hield had a tying three a couple times just against the Pelicans and against the Clippers here. He went for the win, didn't get it. But they're not asking George Hill or Temple or Costa or Z-Bo all the time. So I think they're sprinkling it in. And, you know, the other part about this is I think I had them winning about 27, 28 games. That's about what they're pacing right now. But let's say it gets a little better and they win 34, 35, which is that's pretty significant
that's a
to
lot,
me.
Yeah.
What does that say? Like, this is going well. I think that's a good thing. Oh, they're picking ninth instead of fifth. Yeah. Okay. Their players are better.
And guess what? Your team is still young.
Right.
It's not like you're on the last leg of the squad that you got here trying to win a championship.
Yeah.
It's like,
and you've got money. You've got some guys you can move. I mean, it's. I feel like they're in such a better position contract-wise where they have some of their guys. Now they just have to see who is going to become something more than, you know, they know what they have in Zach Randolph, but we don't know. We can't answer today what Scal's going to be. We don't know that answer, and even playing him 30 minutes – every night, I don't know if we get closer to the answer. Maybe we'd have a better idea, but we just have to wait in time.
So this is one line of thinking that kind of like it kind of gets under my skin just a little bit. This text here, and Greg, I promise we're coming to you in 2 seconds. I think fans aren't ready to admit this is a full rebuild. They have it in their head that it's been 10 years since we made the playoffs, and the eternal optimist in us thinks this is our year. No, this is the first year of our rebuild. Yeah, that line of thinking, that's the only line of thinking that bothers me.
Wait, why is that?
Because I hate the constant, this is year one. And I know that's been pounded into your head by so many different people. This isn't year one. And if I'm a Kings fan who goes to Arco Arena and the Golden 1 Center and I pay money to go there, I'm not looking at this as year one. I'm looking at it as it's been 10 years since you've been good. And I stuck with you through those years when your salary cap was like at the floor,
right?
And you were paying out players because you wouldn't go out there and spend money to put a competitive team on the floor. I dealt with Virginia Beach and Anaheim and Seattle, and I dealt with all of that crap. But yet here we are again. Remember year one rebuild was when Vivek took over and you brought in this big giant Golden State Warrior contingent that blew up in your face in a matter of months. Okay, that was year one. Well, the year after. Okay, well, now DeMarcus is gone, so it's year one again. That's the line of thinking that you can't sell me on. Don't tell me this is year one. It's not. It's not year one.
It's year one of this rebuild.
Of what? But what rebuild number is this?
Yeah, that's a good question, but I feel like the path was DeMarcus is going to take us to whatever direction we're trying to get. Now they've erased that. They're starting this part, but in the way you were looking at it, yeah, it's not the first reboot of things. It's just the first time they're playing now without their best player, DeMarcus, as whatever their plan was before.
And
this
is
a new plan.
No rebuild could be done with DeMarcus. There's no rebuild with DeMarcus here. All of those are reboots. Hey, look, we can go get Rudy Gay. Let's freshen things up here. Look, Isaiah Thomas emerged. Let's get Rajon Rondo. Let's change the coach 47 times.
Right.
Let's change the entire front office. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I think we're playing semantics. Yes, it's year one of the rebuild. How many reboots have you had?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that is the only line of thinking that bugs me, because
I get it.
My money isn't, you know, play along with me. My money isn't in year one of the rebuild.
Right.
And the arena is more expensive. Let's be honest.
Yeah, like it's nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But you pay for the beautifulness.
Yeah.
That great food, it costs money.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're entertained and you're happy there, great. But if you're fed up, I can understand you going, man, I'm not doing this. Don't tell me it's year one.
Yeah.
Be good. Be competitive. And I'm fine with them being competitive and winning games. And if it's 35, if it's 30, great.
Or be 25.
I want you to be better.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to be. I want them to be better this month than they were last month.
Exactly.
And Kevin in Arkansas sent a similar text. Greg, you've been extremely patient. We greatly appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for calling.
What's up, JD? How are you guys doing? JND.
We appreciate you, man. What's going on?
Well, I'm checking in as a Kings fan and a longtime season ticket holder. I was dipping out if Cousins was coming back. I love what they're doing, and I think the most important thing is that they are competitive. How many games in that number doesn't matter, and it's a major challenge for the coaching staff to figure this out, and I think they're doing a really great job. But the part that I'm encouraged by is the character of the players that they've drafted. And I think that's such a critical element that these guys are committed to each other. They're doing the work. Fox will put in the work. He's a character guy. He's a high IQ guy. It is a matter of time. I recognize what you guys have been talking about last night when Mason was in the game. It's exactly what I thought, and it's interesting that you guys are talking about it. He has that 3 extra years at the college level, at a high level, in a great system. So does Bogey. So I appreciate what you guys are saying. I also do appreciate, Damon, what you're saying about this not being year one, and I agree with you.
Oh, we appreciate you, Greg, man. Thank you so much for your thoughts, and most importantly, man, you held on for a long time. We greatly appreciate that. Bottom line is, Kings get a win.
Yep.
At home, 99-92, against a team that, quite honestly, they should have beaten. Devin Booker's not there. And even with Devin Booker, I don't think the Suns – the Kings lost to the Suns earlier this year. And I remember being annoyed, like, no.
They were getting killed
in
that
game. Yeah, the Suns aren't better.
Right.
Devin Booker or not, I don't think the Suns are better.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there. That's fine. Kings can't control that.
Right.
They got the win, and those are the games that I expect them to win. They're going out on a tough road trip. They got the Timberwolves. Timberwolves are, that's the next conversation I want to have with you. The Timberwolves, where they're at, and where it feels like the entire NBA is at. We'll talk about that next here on The Lowdown. Text line's on one today, man. I love that. Get at us, 44-11-40. One question to me, why are you salty all the time? Am I salty?
Not today. Sometimes
not today.
Like that?
Yeah, I'm not today. J-Ross,
passionate.
Let me know when Damien gets fired, then I'll listen again. That's not nice.
That was very mean.
I'd text back a sad face.
They respond?
No, I was just maybe he's not listening, or she's not listening. It's uncalled for.
That's very mean.
There's always been this perception that women don't listen to sports talk. I find that funny, because how many women approach us at the Golden
One
Center?
That's true. Hey, ladies.
Hey.
And that was the last one that'll approach me.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Jason, you can't do that stuff. In
okay.
The
climate.
There goes that press release I was getting ready to put out for Jason Ross.
The ink wasn't dry.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It is
it's nice. Actually, it's refreshing how many people do come by.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always very – that's really why I love going to the games more than anything else. And that's part of the reason that I love going to hang out with Kings fans and talk to so many people who – spend part of their day listening to this show. And I just find between that, hanging out with Deuce and Morgan and the people that I don't get to watch a lot of the game. So I end up leaving the arena and watching the game when I get home. And that's one
I
of
the game.
Yeah. I was like, man, I got to slow down. I've got to focus here and look and see some certain things. But it's always easy to go back and watch, especially when you skip past all the commercials. There was a lot of really, really good basketball on. I'm the epitome of what you tell your kids not to do. I was watching on multiple screens last night. Two games on ESPN that were really, really good. Both went into overtime. The Lakers and the Knicks, Philadelphia and Minnesota.
Yeah, great comeback by Sixers.
And again, both really, really exciting games. Lots just young talent all over the place in that. And I was sidetracked. Obviously, I was keeping an eye on the Kings. I was sidetracked by the Wizards game that was coming to an end. The Wizards were getting beat by Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm watching that, I'm like, the Wizards are a team we're supposed to be excited about. And, you know, they're supposed to be good. And now John Wall's not there. And that's worth pointing
out
in the conversation. And Bradley Beal has done a fantastic job by himself. Even with all the excitement of those games, I pulled up the standings and went and looked at the records of teams.
Oh, yeah.
Is the NBA boring?
No.
Are you sure the NBA is not
boring? I mean, are you saying
boring?
That because the amount of teams that are either 500 or
yes.
actually below? Like the eight seeds are both five. In the West, it's actually below 500.
That's exactly why I'm saying it.
But
that's
I don't exactly
find it boring.
That's
what I'm getting at. The games last night were really, really exciting. But how consequential were they for the Lakers or the Knicks? Like, oh look, the Knicks are back at 500.
Right.
Oh, look, the freaking Wizards are like 500 right now.
Well, and as much as we've kind of talked about a team like the Thunder.
Your Washington Wizards, by the way.
Who have struggled, who haven't figured it out. What's wrong? They get the match with Indiana tonight. But a few wins in OKC is like the sixth seed.
Yeah.
But, again, they're under 500. I think it's left the door open for teams, but I wouldn't say the league is boring by any means.
Boring's not the right word because yeah. last night was anything but boring. The Wizards game was boring as hell, but the games that were on, you know, the national games, the marquee games that the world outside of Sacramento was watching last night, Sacramento and Phoenix, they were really good. And in terms of displaying young talent, Joel Embiid was out there, Karl Anthony Towns was out there, Kuzma, Ball, Kristaps Porzingis, all great stuff. But in the end, you look at it, all this talk about how great the West is.
Exactly.
The Knicks right now are the ninth seed in the East. They're 14-13. In the West, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder who are 12-14. The entire league, take Houston out, take Golden State out, Boston, Cleveland. Out of respect for the two franchises, we're going to take Toronto out because they continue to play well. And we're going to take San Antonio back. Kawhi Leonard returned last night and played 16 minutes, but they're sitting at 19-9. Everything else is just like, yeah, it's all pretty much the same here.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Just a game or two above 500, a game or two below. And then there's a few of the opposite of what Houston and Boston are doing. You got some teams near the bottom that are struggling to get some wins, you know, with Atlanta and Chicago. But, yeah, I think we're still looking at individuals. We're looking at teams. We're looking at storylines. But the records have been intriguing to me. And sometimes early on, you have to be a little bit careful about things that could be misleading as well. Because I was looking at the Knicks. They have played 8 road games? Is that what it is? 9. 9 road games. They're 1-8.
Is that bad?
Yes. Okay. It's the worst in the league. They're the worst road team in the league, and they're above 500. Their road games are coming. Now, maybe they'll win some of them and be fine. But, I mean, look at a team like the Kings who, after this trip, they'll almost be halfway done with their road schedule. They've already played 15. This will get them to 19.
Wow.
I mean, they're almost halfway through the road schedule.
Did you see who has the worst point differential in the league?
I haven't.
Have you put that on the Locked On Kings podcast? Spoiler alert. It's the Kings. They lose by an average of 8.8 points per game. It's the most in the league.
Which has got to be cut down, though. It's got to be getting better because they have had, like recently, I think in the last 10, they're 5-5. Well, some of the losses, though, the Toronto loss was double digits. The wins are like last night, single digits. They've had some close wins. But, yeah, I think they're cutting that gap down, but they're still, it's not very good.
I don't know how valuable that is. Cleveland is 20-8, and their point differential is plus 3.5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in comparison, Houston and Golden State, they're 11.
Yeah, that's
they're plus 11.
Yeah.
So they're beating teams up and they're beating up pretty good.
Yeah.
I love this text. Damien, I love meeting people that listen to the show. Also, Damien, I hope I don't ever meet any of our listeners. That's not true. That is absolutely not at all what I said. No. I just said I hope I don't meet JR.
Yeah.
I want
you
JR.
Need to. Just don't want to see what he looks like.
I want JR to remain this like enigma to me.
Yeah.
And JR is, you know, he calls every day. Like, yeah. I just want him to remain this, I don't ever want to know.
I know what you mean. Because for the longest time, I hadn't met him. He'd called for years and years and years. And then I'm like, oh.
I almost don't want to meet Ken.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I would have incredible conversations with Ken. But I almost just, he's just this voice
right.
that's out there in the world.
We could do without some of the texters.
come on. I want to meet
a lot of them are great, but some of them are like, ugh.
Great, Chris.
Great.
I want to meet the guy who doesn't like me and just want to ask him why.
So you want to meet the people that don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to meet the people that do like
you. I never said that I don't want to meet the people that don't. I just said just JR and Ken. That's it.
And they like
and I
you.
Don't even know that Ken for sure. It's just JR. Yeah. I don't know. And
oh,
I love
great.
JR.
Yeah.
I just when you told me when that he came by the Tower Records sign
yeah,
when you do
for
your
the pregame.
Show.
He's like, "Where's Damian?" I said, "Oh, you were just there. You just missed him."
And I thought, "Oh, okay, I don't know that I want this."
Yeah.
And then I'm sure I'll meet.
I know, I was excited to tell you. Like, I don't know that I wanted to. I'm like, oh.
I'll meet JR one day
it'll
for
happen.
Sure, and it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
But there's this there. But then it'll take away the aura.
Yeah.
It's JR.
Because you kind of have just a picture in your mind of, I don't even know if you put a face to him, but just.
No, I've seen his Twitter account.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
That was like, okay. Bad idea number one
yeah.
when it comes to JR is looking at his Twitter account. But yeah, you just have visions of people who call. I have visions of people who text. There are people who text every day.
Absolutely.
So,
they're regulars.
I'd love to meet everybody, even
yeah.
JR. And I never said I didn't want to meet any of our the people who listen to the show, just a couple of them. And I'd love to meet them as well.
Yeah.
Though it would be weird.
Maybe we should do an autograph signing or something.
No, shut up. We got to get into the NFL here at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Jay Ross, Aaron Rodgers is back officially. He's going to play back-to-back games against some pretty tough defenses. We'll discuss that. Plus Jason and I will have one small thought on the entire American Football Conference, including your Oakland Raiders. That's next here on the Lowdown.